TNA had a night out on the town at an amateur strip club night and were so inspired by these everyday 9-to-5ers getting on stage and strutting their stuff, we thought we'd bring them on air to have them share their experience of what it was like. And who knows, maybe it will inspire you to get on the pole.
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Welcome to episode 114.
15.
God, sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. 2 years in. We're, radio veterans, which from our live feed, you probably couldn't tell with the mic falling, resetting up.
It was a bit of a song and dance to, right. So we are live streaming on Facebook, which you can go to our Facebook page and check out even if it's not live.
Yeah, the post is still there,
record.
So you can watch it.
And all of our debacles in the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning's always a little slow starting because I have to hit the live button before we sit down to record this fantastic show.
So we are here in our lovely home studio with two lovely ladies. We were supporting our dear friend.
Yeah.
And which was so fun. We had so much fun at this night. So let me introduce who we're with. So we're with Meredith Riley Stewart, who is an actress and producer. And she's working on a web series called Autocorrect FU, which she does with the lovely T.
Yeah, she co-produces with me. And we have about 28 little episodes online. We're also on
so
Snacked.
Funny.
Yeah, we're on Snacked. We're featured on Funny or Die. We're on YouTube and Facebook. Thanks A for the plug. But we just shot two with some big comedians, Tone Bell and Trisha Hirschberger.
Yeah, we've got two more coming up with big YouTube stars. So it's a good moment for the autocorrect girls.
Yeah. But this
How
was
do they
Meredith's-
find you?
Oh, yeah.
How do they find it?
Yeah, on YouTube, if you type in autocorrect, capital F, capital U, all one word, you can find our channel. The photo is us looking like spoofing 90s rappers.
Oh, is that Skittle Tits? That's my favorite.
Yeah, we did a music video called Skittle Tits.
Is
yeah,
my
we
favorite.
Busted out our hammer moves.
Oh, it's called Straight Outta Skittle Tits.
Yeah.
It is the best.
It's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, so this lovely Southern accent is Meredith.
Yeah, well said.
It's so... melodic. I love it.
Friendly reminder, Meredith's first time publicly doing this pole dance show.
Yeah.
And it was amazing and inspiring. And same for our other guest, Jennifer Sorensen.
Okay, so Jennifer, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Jennifer is an actress and producer of the web series. Orphan is the New Orange. Is it a web series?
It's not a web series, although most people think it is. It's a short film parody of Orphan Black and Orange is the New Black. I play 10 characters and I wrote it and Meredith actually produced it. So,
actually, it's like a little club because you wrote one of our sketches.
I did.
I was going to say
that. I did. I wrote one of yours.
The one that we shot here.
It was the sexual.
Oh, the one you shot here.
We filmed in this apartment.
Right. Yes, we shot it here.
The Lincoln Room is here.
Yeah.
The Lincoln Room.
Yeah, we had. Yeah, it's called. What was it? Is it
Stephanie's
Panic?
Bathroom,
it's called something
Panic
Scandal.
Room. The Panic Room, I think.
Yeah, Meredith has had a few spots on the TV show Scandal and some soap operas.
We called it Panic in the Pancake Room or Scandal in the Pancake Room to tie in my Scandal appearance.
So there was
the
guy dressed in the pancake costume was in your bed.
I did see that.
Yeah,
memories of that
strange man in my bed. Story of my life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, not so strange.
So thank you, ladies, for being here. And so pole dancing night was the first night for you too.
Yes, publicly.
Yeah,
publicly.
Well, I think the point, I think
private
the highlight
is the difference.
Me and the pancake guy had a great time, but as outside of the studio, yes.
Per the introduction that you so eloquently did, the reason we're excited to talk with you guys is because this was your first time performing it publicly. It was something that maybe you'd take classes with, and I think we all have, assumptions and things that we project onto, like, what does it mean to be doing pole dancing
stripping, erotic dancing.
I noticed I kept calling it stripping.
Me too.
But it's like, well, it's not stripping. It's pole dancing, which is sort of an acrobatic art on a pole. So I thought it was an exciting taboo topic to kind of sink our teeth into.
But also, you're right. For me, I mean, I had all these questions that came up, so I'm going to drill down on you guys.
Yeah, jump in.
Yeah, but so just to give everybody an idea, you guys got in, you got into the performance night because you're taking pole dancing classes, right? So what got you into taking classes, and can you, like, what are they like? What do you do in pole dancing class?
Yeah, Jen and I met in class, and the particular studio where we go is very much focused on each individual's sort of personal experience in it. Like you literally allow yourself to see how your body feels doing different kinds of movement rather than following a teacher and learning choreography and looking at yourself and the teacher in mirrors. There's none of that at this particular studio. The lights are kept really low.
It's pretty much black in there.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest fear about doing the show was that the lights were going to be on. I was like, and how bright is this place going to be?
Because like, people are going to see
I have
me?
A really big ass. And it was all scary to see in the light.
But they put on red lights.
It was not. Yes. It was not scary at all. And you got everyone. You guys looked beautiful. I was like, I want to bite you.
Yeah, I think it's pretty stage lighting. I have to say, look, as a woman going to see you perform, I think that's another thing is, you know, like as women, like we're not invited to the strip club. Like right. we're not invited to go to these things. And it's sort of like, oh, that's like a naughty place. You don't go where bad people are. And then, you know, your male friends are like, yeah, I've been, I go, da, da, da. Like, or, you know, we went for a bachelor party. So I've, you know, set foot into strip clubs before. And I think even then there was sort of like a distance where I was like, this is uncomfortable and wrong. But being there with you guys and seeing you, I mean, I'm sure knowing you, but it was so fun. It was so sexy and exciting. Like I was like jazzed up, you know, I was turned on like all of it, you know, in a good way. I mean, it was exciting. I said that in a couple times. It was very exciting.
Is that why we're really here today? What's happening? Yeah. I'm just kidding. But yeah, but our studio, it's very focused on the feminine. So the reason why I decided to go was I had a couple of friends that were at the studio. And as soon as they told me what they were doing, I immediately got terrified. I thought I could never do that. And of course, that's exactly why I went and did it. Because I was like, if I'm scared of it, I have to go and do it. Because what the hell am I scared of? It's just dancing or whatever. And I think there was times in my work where sexual things would come up where I had, you know, I'm an actor. So like, you know, you have scenes where you're supposed to be sexy and I didn't, you know, people had maybe told me I was sexy, but I certainly didn't feel sexy in any way. And so I wanted to go explore that and see what I was scared of. And they totally take you baby steps into it. Like the first time I think I showed up in sweats and I was, you know, in a dirty, not a dirty t-shirt, but you know, like a frumpy t-shirt. And then by the end, I'm like half naked, like, yeah, I'm going to get shoes. Like you totally drink the Kool-Aid when you're in there. Cause when you get in there and it is just you and there are no mirrors and you're not judging yourself and no one's judging you. It's like, what? It's just moving your body in a way that it's meant to be moved, actually. So
wow,
it's empowering.
I'm trying to think. I like no mirrors. It's like you go to yoga, you do all these things where you look at yourself. Yeah, that would be really liberating,
right?
To dance.
Yeah, it's really
without mirrors.
And I came to this
feel.
From a dance background, so right. I grew up taking ballet. But that's funny that thinking of this on the way over, I realized like my mother only let me take ballet. Because anything out of that was, she literally called it trollop training.
Isn't that the
wow.
best? I bet she meant trollop. I'm so using
I
that
know,
with
it's
everything
so great,
now.
But like, because, I mean, I grew up in the Deep South. It was sinful
training.
To move your pelvis like that. So it was, I mean, that is some deep shit that I'm
is
realizing
deep
is
shit.
Like, has like, been like almost like a philosophical chastity belt, you
yes,
know?
Yeah.
Like in your life where you don't allow yourself to move like that or it's dirty to do that, you know? And by the time you were a teenager, or definitely by the time I went to college and I discovered other types of dance besides ballet, I mean, daily in dance classes was sort of a liberation of this.
Which is hilarious because you listen to rap, right? Like you're constantly rapping and I'm like, oh my God, this little Southern belle is like throwing it down.
It's one of those, like, it was totally subconscious, but like one of those, you tell me I can't do it, so that's all I want to do, you know, kind of things. But for me, coming to pole dancing specifically as a dance, with a dance background, I mean, I danced professionally for 10 years, but in a modern dance company, you know, concert dance.
Yeah, and if you do move, I feel like if you move your hips in modern dance, it's like mechanic, like this mechanical swirl, like it never
like
kind of connotates sex.
It never did.
Or abstractly, it's like referencing sex.
Yes, I was never conscious of the incredible sexuality that my body holds. And it's a really kind of sad thing. Like I regret now, looking back 10 years, that I didn't know I had that much power then.
Yeah, it really changes your confidence.
It does.
There's some girls that are in class that are like 20, and I can't even, I wish I had done this at 20, because imagine the space you would hold for yourself and the situations I probably wouldn't have gotten in because I didn't know what I had. And it just creates a whole new way that you carry yourself, and you don't need attention, you know, like that, all the attention we got on Sunday was great, but it was more for us.
Yeah,
like it
was,
I wasn't
experience.
Like, oh, you're looking, oh, that validates that I have a nice body or that I'm sexy. I could care less, except, you know, they were throwing money and I was like, okay, I'll take
I'll
it.
I'll take it. Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't matter to me what you think about, you know, my body or what you think.
It was just more a chance for you to let that out.
And... Yeah. I think I asked Meredith right before we started. I was like, can you remind me why we're doing this again? Because I have no idea. I've lost all so perception of what's going on and I'm in the middle of a strip club.
Yeah. You're like about to get on stage.
I started having all these things. I'm like, it's not about me, right? It's about all those women who can't express themselves sexually and I have to express myself for them. And she's like, no, it's so that people see you and you get witnessed and you watch them watching you. I was like, oh, all right, I can do that too. It doesn't have to be to save the world. just to have people see you.
Yeah,
do this.
Just to be in this new, like,
and to be out,
a very new, powerful position for me to be in, to like watch people watching me and me see them watching me and also me see them valuing my power and appreciating
your sexual
power.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it was really, it was really like a paradigm shifting experience.
This, you know, you're talking about this, and so I did sensual massage for a while, and I talk about like when I first started in on that and how it just automatically threw me into my sexual power in a new way that I hadn't ever felt. And like this is I'm hearing my own experience reflected back. It's funny how like putting yourself in a new sexual situation or something, you just like discover this sexual beast inside of you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
But it's totally
crazy.
Natural.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be there. And it's why there's people on the earth. And like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like, it's, like, let's celebrate
why we
the
have
creation
hips
of it.
And,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, yeah.
That's what the pelvis is for, actually.
Right.
Wait, for fucking? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Well, and just like, there's
attracting
a reason why women are,
like,
you know,
and holding
have this
sexual
inside you is to, you know, there's a reason why it's erotic to watch a woman move that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to what Meredith was saying, I think it's not just in the Deep South where you were. What were you, a trollop tramp?
Yeah,
trollop trainer.
If your mom
dancing
could
like
see
that
you,
was trollop training.
Yeah, if you could see that you on Sunday, she would have a heart attack.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because Meredith is a trollop now.
She is. And no, but she
thank God she is.
I'm kidding.
But it's not just in the South. In all society, like how many times do you get? I try so hard, but like that women get told to close their legs, their legs. Don't do this. Don't do that. And that's what in the class, you know, when we do the warm up, they'll say, spread out your legs. Do not get them wider. Get them as, you know, as wide
they'll
as
they'll guide
can.
You to literally, like, if you're lying on your back with your legs wide, and again, it's really dark in there, and you are not looking really at the teacher, you're just listening, and you're not looking at other people in class. And they'll guide you, like, take your hands on the insides of your knees and slowly go down your inner thighs and then touch yourself. And
God, great.
Own that, like, that's you, and you get to decide what happens there. And now move on and enjoy your other curves and stuff like that. But it's very, very much about like, this is my body. I'm in charge of it.
Okay. Right. And not just touching like your vagina, you rub your hands all over your body. And even the parts that like you, especially the parts that you think you hate about your body and you just own it and you grab it and and thank you for it. And
so
everyone's kind of
I know we're
questions.
So excited. Go ahead.
Two quick questions. One, are there guys in this class? And then I just wanted to I guess I'm wondering, you're talking about different versions or kinds of classes, so I'm curious what other classes may be like or what other focuses are on.
There are not guys in the studio that we go to.
Are they not allowed? Okay.
I've heard of a gay man that I met said he was taking classes. I haven't Googled or anything, but
other studios I've been to, I have seen guys, but I think it has been like guys who are interested in actually dancing, not who are interested in watching women dance.
Right. Okay.
But this particular studio that we're at,
it's very focused on the feminine.
Okay.
And,
cool.
Yeah. And about the curve.
And your other question was?
Okay, so this class really focused on your own personal experience and sounds like your exploration into your own sexuality. Are all, because there's all different kinds of studios, right, of pole dancing. So
yeah.
Like what other kinds of experiences might people get if they go in their city to a certain class?
Well, I think other studios are more focused on the gymnastics of it and doing
Tricks
and things like that. And this studio does, the studio that we go to does, they do that, but it is not the focus of it.
Okay.
And you've been, I haven't been to any other ones.
It's just become my new thing. Like when I travel, if I don't have anything to do, I'm like, is there a pole dance studio in town? I'm going to go take a class.
Go practice that.
And yeah. And just go and experience what it's like. And I took one in Dallas recently when I was there, and I felt really bad for the women in class that this is as, it was such a surface level class, if you know what I mean. Like it was so technical. There were bright lights, lots of mirrors. It was very athletic. It wasn't. It wasn't sexy at all.
Oh,
and it was very technical. And you know, I mean, I got a workout, but that's not why.
So
I go
women
to pole
would be
class.
Like, yeah. Women in that class would be like, "Oh yeah, I do pole dancing class," but they, but there's like a real lack of, yeah, but you're not really dipping into your sexuality.
Yeah, like I didn't
or
see
lack
their
of guidance into that.
I didn't see their bodies enjoying it. I mean, there's right. a real shift, and it took a while, like over a year of me going to class consistently to allow myself in my actor and sort of professional dancer brain to shut off. To mm-hmm. let my body move.
And your mama's trollop training voice
yes,
to get out of here.
And all of that, like years and years and years of all those signals saying, this is bad, this is wrong, this is dirty, right. hide this, don't share this with anybody. All of those years of that. It took a long time to sort of shed that and be able to just allow my body to move like it naturally wants to. Like it feels really indulgent and delicious to move like that.
Yeah. So it's been about a year. It took about a year for
I
you
would
to
say,
well, come
I was in class when you first started because yeah. We merged classes or something like that. And I remember the biggest note she would always get is, it's going to be harder for you because you're a dancer, because you think you know what your body wants because you've been trained, but you don't know what your body wants. And it was like, so I remember it being like a frustrating thing, and then to see you on Sunday, like she's over that.
Oh
she's
yeah.
right in where she's supposed to be.
Okay, we're gonna take a mini break, and then we'll come back to keep talking about all this exciting stuff.
Pole dancing, yes.
Yeah, we're talking with
pole dancing for the common woman.
Right. Yes. Meredith Riley Stewart, who is my partner in the sketch series Autocorrect FU. Jennifer Sorensen has a short.
He's the star of
The New Orange.
There you go.
Yeah. And you're listening to TNA Talk Sex. You guys write in if you have any questions or thoughts to our advice episode at the end of every month, advice@tatalksex.com. And
if you like what you're hearing, please go to iTunes and write a review because that's the best way you can help us.
Yeah, create visibility. All right, we'll be right back. And we're back with TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And we're talking with our friends about their first live pole dancing experience.
Yeah, we went to amateur pole dancing
night.
Strip club night. Yes, stripper night. Amateur strips. Blah, blah, blah. It was so fun. And
yeah, you know, Meredith, you hit on something that just reminds me of like when I went to a strip club with a friend. Actually, it was the same one that you guys performed in. And I went on like a regular night, but it was like a friend or whatever, a lover that I was dating invited me. And his friend was there and his friend was sort of going through his own like life transition and had been spending lots of time at the strip club. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I want to have like a new experience. So I went. I'm like, I'm a host of a sex podcast. So let's see what it's about. And I just think you hit on something about like the sexuality of it and like enjoying it, and if the performer is really enjoying it. And so I saw several women, you know, who do it professionally, and there were a couple that were, some did like really amazing moves, some were talented, some were kind of boring, and then there was this one woman who was so tapped into it. Was a very sensual performance and it was so beautiful. And I don't know, I think I'm just interested in that space between like when we allow ourselves to express that or like that intention of being in like a sensual sexual energy and when we're not. And it's almost like no matter what you're doing, you can bring it or not bring it. Like you're saying, like, so there's a class that's literally pole dancing, which is considered an erotic art dance form. And here you are going, there's nothing sensual or erotic about this. Like we're just doing this tutorial.
Like athletically. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Technique.
Like turn left, turn
which
right.
Which is like sex. I mean, you can have sex totally mechanically, but but not have any passion or sensuality. And then it's just boring.
Yeah. And
sex,
and like forgettable or bad or right. And people are like, why was it bad? And you're like, well, there wasn't any sensuality.
Go take a pole dancing class and get in touch with your sexuality.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it can. Right. Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. Well, yeah. Do you think you could strip in real life? Do you think you could do this in real life?
I was, after the first dance, I mean, I was like bowled over by how much fun it was.
Yeah, I was a little worried about you. You were like, I got to go back on. She was like, I got to get another hit. That was amazing.
It was, I was like okay, way slow your roll. More amazing than I thought it was going to be. Way more fun than I was so nervous. Like for the week leading up to it, I was just like, oh, but what if I trip and what if I can't walk in my shoes and just all this stupid shit, this minutia that I was making up as problems. And zero of that came with me on stage. It was, right. It was weird because I mean, I've been on stage lots. I'm a performer, you know, so I've always had a consciousness of like the technique of what's going on and okay, the lights are up, the lights are off. I'm on stage and whatever, you know, none of that was there. It was so different than any performing experience I've had. And it was just like, I had zero concept of what's next. What do I do? I don't know what I'm doing. And 100% like in my body and in control of like, oh, they like that. Okay, I'm going to stay here a little bit longer. Ooh, watch this. Let's see if they like this. It was amazing. So fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Did you all rehearse at all? Did you know what songs you were going to do?
Did you choreograph or?
It was a little up in the air. So you could have the DJ choose a song for you, which they would say, like, if you want to make money, let the DJ choose the song because he knows what the audience likes.
Oh.
So I went out on a limb because I didn't love the song that they had chosen for me. And I just said, all right, DJ Choice, just put on something I can twerk to. And he did.
She did. And he did. And she did.
And yeah. She did. And that was amazing.
We had like 10 minutes before the show to get up on stage for the first time and like just test out the pole. Right. Meanwhile, there's 12 of us up on stage trying to do this.
Oh,
it was,
wow.
It was not
smaller.
Much of a rehearsal. At
right.
All.
Yeah. And wow. It was a lot smaller. I think we both went in and got what we wanted. Meredith was definitely like, she was practicing for weeks doing pole tricks and she's like, I'm not eating any sugar and blah, blah, blah. I did the opposite. I was like eating chips, all freaking out, eating everything that I could and then like trying to go to class, but then knowing that I didn't have to do that many trades because I wore fishnets because I have my own insecurities, so I knew I couldn't do a lot of pole stuff because I would just fly off.
The fishnets were so beautiful on stage in the light,
so hot. And,
oh, yeah,
cool. Thank
yeah.
you.
Well, it was so interesting to see where how like amazing these sort of costume pieces look on stage.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
Yeah.
So I was more. My goal was more to like just go up there and not die and just do it, and to actually just conquer the fear. So I got what I wanted. I think Meredith got. I mean, Meredith was. She was definitely the star of the night. She definitely got what she wanted, I think.
Hilarious.
I remember when we were done. She's there was a lushing. Couple of things that when we were both kind of like, oh my God, this is amazing. And we can just make money. And you know, oh, this is so intoxicating.
Question, right?
It's so intoxicating. And then we have to remember that we were in a really safe audience. And right. They were, you know, your husband was in the front row.
Yeah,
my butt was in his face.
Her on, oh, yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. He was amazing. It was great. It was. He was a great focal point to go to. But then there were things that happen off stage, you know, where you get people who they're watching you and they're get mm-hmm. turn you know and they want to ask you questions
and follow us this like, is a, follow to the dressing room.
Well, this is a yeah. perfect question because one something else I was really wondering okay first of all I'm in the audience and I'm like I am becoming a fucking stripper done. I'm like I don't even want to make money off of it. I just like I'm a dancer anyway. I do tango and salsa and I've done sensual. But I'm like this is like I want like I've always wanted
you
to
gotta come to class.
Yeah, you gotta
but, yeah but I'm like but I liked the idea of being in public and like being in front of you and like performing for that. But then I was like, you know, my little as I'm driving home, I'm like, yeah, but is it really gonna be like that? I mean, mm-hmm. we were definitely a supportive audience. It was everyone, it was all the loved ones, you know. And so
right.
one thing that yeah, it's like what I wonder, and we could only really guess at what the differences would be if we were actually strippers at a strip club. We should have a stripper here talking
yeah.
about that.
Yeah. Well, we can frequent it on a normal night.
I've had this conversation a lot lately about, you know, judgment and what if nobody judged stripping. Would right. more people do it? Because really what you're doing is, I mean, we didn't take off our clothes. There's nothing wrong with taking off your clothes. I mean, I personally don't think there's anything wrong with taking off your clothes and dancing. You're a human being. You're taking off your clothes and dancing and people are giving you, exchanging energy and giving you money for it. And, you know, when I went and did this, I was nervous about where I was going to post certain things. And if you take away all that judgment, if you're totally okay with it, like, then absolutely go do it. If there weren't a couple experiences I had with some of the people in the audience afterwards, I think I would be totally fine. Because what am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right. So these people afterwards were just pursuing you guys in a way that made you uncomfortable.
Yeah,
just
uncomfortable. Yeah, it was men.
A fan club.
Yeah,
a little bit like unwarranted, and like neither one of us used our names on stage, and so. You know, I wanted to make sure that there wasn't a way that they could actually follow up with me, you know, but just like following us off stage and continuing to ask questions, and nobody was too overt that I was really scared. But it crossed my mind.
Yeah, I didn't feel dirty at all until like then you had somebody staring at you that way and you're like, oh, now I feel dirty, you know, but that also, that's my own issue. Like I could have also just gone, okay, great. You're looking at me like that, but it doesn't affect me. But it kind of tapped into that insecurity that society has about strippers and you know, I did something wrong. Yeah,
like
I did something like wrong. So it kind of took that and I was like, oh, I feel like you took a piece of what I was owning, but that I also allowed that. So if I could maybe harness more of owning it,
you being turned on has nothing to do with me. Yeah.
Right. I think that the way that the system of stripping and probably we should have an actual stripper here to be, you know, more objective about this. Yeah. But I think it's based on, you know, I give you money and you do this for me, as opposed to, you know, what Meredith and I were doing of like, you don't have to give me any money.
Right.
I'm going to go up there. Right. I'm doing this for me. You know what I mean?
That was the key thing that I thought about too, was intention. It's like the intention of the audience was so.
Yeah. And I think we were interested in talking with you too, because it's such a different, like a thing out of your normal experience. What's the intention? What's the approach to it? And what's the value being put on it also?
Yeah, like we came in with the intention to support you guys, you know, and like we're giving to you. And I think like a regular strip club audience is like, what can I get from you?
Show me something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I wonder if this reminds me of our episode, Do Communists Have Better Sex? It's one of our really older, much older episodes. And there was a documentary on the BBC about the way sex was viewed on either side of the Berlin Wall before the wall fell, and how differently the kind of communist world was pursuing sex and understanding it and educating the public, and the Western side, which was getting a much more media-based print image version of sexuality. And the largest difference was basically that the communist group seemed to actually understand the difference between performative sexuality and sex itself, and viewing the performance as entertainment and then sex and like the actual intimacy of sex and having a partner. And so to me, the pleasure of, yes, it was a safe space, it was people you knew, but what if people who attended, you know, understood also that it is this erotic thing that it gets you excited. I mean, I was turned on in a number of ways, right? And like, but I'm not trying to now make a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. I see it just for what it is and not for any pursuing anything else.
Yeah.
Which is what I think a lot of women do that go to strip club. I remember the first time I went to strip club, I was like, oh, I'm going to go. And then I went and then I saw her do like, I saw them doing like crazy tricks and I was like, that's amazing. That's what I want to do. That's so cool. And you're in admiration of it, right? Uh-huh. And you're throwing money because you're like, yes, you go. That's amazing that you're doing that. And I think that it's, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for men, but I think it's I don't know. It's a different thing.
We should take a field trip to a non-amateur night at this place and just see what it's like. Because I wonder, I mean, I filled up the room with a bunch of people who I know love me and were going to support me. And so did Jen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I wonder if all those people weren't there, would I have had the same
takeaway? I remember my first dance. I was wearing a white colored shirt and I went to go, take it off. In front of, like, you know, on the tip rail, and there was one guy there just with his arms crossed and was like, I'm not having any of this, and just staring at me. And I was like, well, then I can swear it. Well, fuck you. Then I'm going to go over to Bert because he's going to enjoy it. That's your husband.
Yeah, he told me to tell you, by the way, that men do that when they don't have any more money.
Oh, So then I was like, well, anyway.
I was thinking that because I was watching this dynamic too, all night long. And I'm like, I wonder if like their girlfriend is another dancer and like, they don't want to like give you too much of like oogling or whatever because their girlfriend is there.
Well, I like the code also in a way. Don't spend your time dancing on me. I have no money to give you.
Yeah,
almost the way tango. Tango is like the eye contact thing. You don't make eye contact if you don't want to dance with the person.
Yeah, it's very there's a lot of social rules about
that. Yeah, but you know, in pole dancing, stripping, what, you know, I'm sitting here with you and I'm not going to take your time on the stage because I have nothing to give you. Right. Maybe.
No, I felt that like and that was like the presence of those moments, those 3 minutes. I mean, that's how long the dances were. So short.
Yeah.
But you know, on stage I felt that looking in the eyes of some man watching me and seeing like, it's not interested in him. I'm not doing it for him. All right, so I'm going to roll over to the other side and do a split in front of this guy.
Yeah.
And but that guy appreciated it. In that moment, yeah, be able to be like, okay, the energy is over here that's and loving me. Like, this, they're enjoying this part. These people, not so much. I'm just going to move on to this area. I mean, it was really interesting to watch that, like, kind of base human emotion, you know, being exchanged.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a mini break, but I want to talk about your outfits and stuff when we come back. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I've got some questions too when we come back. How it relates to the bedroom. Which is the real reason all these guys listening are like, yeah, but if I send my wife to pole dancing classes, what's she gonna do when she gets home?
All right, guys, if you have any thoughts or questions that you that are outside of pole dancing or involved with this, write us at advice@TATalkSex.
And also, if you have questions for next month's advice show, which is at the end of the month.
Right, the last week of every month. And also take a moment to write us a review on iTunes if you like what you're listening to and you would like other people to be able to find us. It raises visibility. You don't have to actually use your name when you write the review, but put in a code name if that makes you more comfortable.
Your stripper name.
Yes, pick your stripper name and post, men and women. So we'll be right back. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. We're back with TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And we are talking with Meredith Riley Stewart, my co-host.
Your other work wife.
Yes, actually, yes. As we know, I am the polyamorous one of the show. We always got a carousel of, you know, lovers around me, and
it's okay. I love Meredith too. I'll be in your harem. Right. Meredith and I are in your harem.
Yeah. So thank you, ladies. I hope that, you know, I feel that you guys feel equally loved.
I love you.
Autocorrect FU is our sketch series. We have some coming up with some comedians that you guys will like.
But it's so funny. Please go check it out because I love it when you guys
Thank you. Yeah. I'm playing all kinds of characters. Although this is
my favorite is when you're the hick.
Which was
the Prius thing,
like Chris and Randy.
Yes.
You and you got a mullet. You and you're rocking your so mullet.
Good. I have a mullet, and Meredith has sort of a Jerry curl.
I look like Faye Geraldo.
Oh my god, it was so
I like
good.
It when you guys play each other's mothers and yourselves.
So we'll play the mom, and then we are. Well, I don't want to give it away. Or we give
go
it away.
Watch it. Autocorrect FU on YouTube.
Yeah, and Funny or Die and all that. And Jennifer Sorensen, thank you for being with
us. Thank you. Who also has a love affair with Meredith because she produced our short Orphan is the New Orange.
I am feeling the love in the circle.
Oh my god, we are having an orgy. We are having a work orgy. And so you guys were had amateur pole nights.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about.
And the experience
and it was so inspiring for me and T, and I wanted to share it with the audience because
I wanted to, for all women. Yeah, yes. And we left off on costuming because you guys wore some racy outfits on stage and I don't know. Just wanted to hear
how did you pick it? Or what were you thinking? What were your biggest concerns? Have you had any? Or
I did. I thought about costumes a lot. We wear those in class. I mean,
really?
we have different. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm for yeah. sure fucking
when
joined.
We do our dances in class, you experiment with different costumes and everything.
And that's part of the journey to experiment.
To see what feels good
what
on you.
What your body likes.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily know I was going to love, you know, dominatrix boot, knee high boots. And that was, I love them. Things those are great.
Wow.
Do you have any fetish for vinyl?
But I do because it helps you climb the pole, but those are things that we explore. I think that's the first time I ever wore red sequin panties though, which I go back, I've seen the videos of us dancing and I love that's
they
my
look
favorite
great
outfit
under the red lights too.
Yeah it looks really cool. But yeah, so we practice with we've been practicing with costumes for a while.
Yeah.
But I think there's definite thought when you're gonna go public, like what are you gonna show, what do you you know know. That's why I was wearing fishnets the whole
time.
I
was thinking about that a couple times. Like, I had on more on stage than I do in class. at the pool or on the beach sometimes. You know, it's like we really weren't showing that much skin. It was just really sexy what we were showing. Right. You know? And my journey with costuming. Yeah.
Like walking around your bathing suit, but like walking around your stripper outfit's probably going to put you in a completely different headspace.
Yeah. And those shoes, they say a certain thing. You know?
What is with those shoes?
The shoes. Why? Slide up. Where did it slide up?
Yeah, they did. Amazing. They were like platforms with lights in them. That was great.
I missed the lights.
Oh, you didn't see? Yeah, hers light up. My shoe broke in the first dance. My shoes have never broken in the 3 years I've done this, and it broke in the first dance. That's why if you see the video, I'm crawling the whole time.
I didn't know.
You were on your knees a lot, but I remember being like, wow, it was so cool when you would like slide across the floor.
Yeah, because your ass is in the air, and we're loving that ass.
Yeah, but there was also you were like moving with purpose and like with this like, you know, yeah, like enter like sexual force.
Right. Well, that's what we figure. One of the things that we work on in class too is like, what does your body want to wear? And I love knee pads because I love sliding. Mm. And you figure that kind of stuff out. Like,
it reminded me of what's the stripper movie, but with Magic Channing Mike. Like some of your slides on your knees. I was like, that's like the Magic Mike move.
It's and
hot when a woman around.
And I lost one like that day, remember? And I was like, I gotta go look. I had to find it because I was like, I cannot do a show without knee pads because I have to slide around.
Right.
But what did you find that is your stuff that your body likes to wear?
Well, what I've in my journey at the studio, I have found that, you know, it's funny, when I first went, I was like, I need to buy all this stuff that is quote stripper looking. So I went to like trashy, you know, lingerie shops and bought some stuff that I was like, oh, this looks like a stripper. Not at all. That I didn't say, what do I connect with? I thought, what looks like a stripper?
What's the image?
Yeah. So I bought a bunch of like padded bras because I am like an A cup and I don't like wearing lots of bras. But I thought, this is what you need to do. You're supposed to wear stuff with underwire and a lot of padding and push up and all this kind of stuff. And after like 6 months of being in class, I'm like, why do I wear these stupid pads? It doesn't feel like my body. And when I touch my body, I feel this big thing sitting on top of my chest and it doesn't feel like my body and I don't like it. So finally, I've like broken the ties with my need to feel like I needed a pad in my bra to feel sexy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so
I just embraced you call it like a bralette or something, you know, like just lace, essentially, like a lace triangle top almost.
Right.
And I found that to be just like, you know what, this is what my body looks like.
It was really hot. Yeah, the lace thing. Yeah. It was so pretty. There was another performer or, you know, a woman performing and she had that kind of crazy like clown costume on and she put a light in her teeth.
She makes her own costumes. That's
it.
She's awesome.
I loved it actually. Like it was so, and it was so
unique.
She
was a spider later. Were you there when she was a spider?
I didn't see the spider.
I did notice. Yeah, I did see.
She
was all about the costumes. I think she was like a zombie maybe in the middle. I don't know what it was.
But it was so specific to her.
It was what made her feel sexy. There's girls in class who wear Converse, you know, that like that makes their body feel sexy is to wear Converse.
Or no shoes.
I wish we could have worn no shoes, but we can't. But yeah, it's just you find what your body likes. And it's really interesting. You waste a lot of money at first going on what you think your body, what you think is sexy. And then I have bags and bags of stuff. And then you find out like, oh, I like Converse and sweats. And that's what makes me feel sexy.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got? Yeah. How... you've talked a lot about how you've tapped into your sexuality in class and it's been this new great experience for you, but have you seen any effect for in your sex life with your partners or in dating or I know Meredith, you're married, but I don't know how much you want.
I know, but I'm like, oh my God.
I think everyone would be curious to know if you're open to sharing some of that.
Well, what I have noticed is more attention to myself. In a sexual situation, which I didn't even realize I wasn't doing.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. Yeah, more...
like in what, like just like sort of demand, knowing what you want and demanding it?
Knowing what I want and just like enjoying what's happening to my body and enjoying my body, enjoying the like sort of all five senses being engaged.
I was
going to
say, it sounds like it's a more sensual experience. Yes. Like you're tuned into... your senses.
Yes. And of course, I mean, we have like, you learn like in a kind of technical way, like a really sexy crawl. And I'll notice like, oh, I just did a crawl from class across the bed. but like, hey, it works. And it also is not like conscious anymore. It's just like, this is how my body moves now. It's just like, indulging in those curves and like enjoying it in my body comes out in that situation. And I think you will have to ask my husband next time you see him.
I think we should call
and
him.
I will.
Right now. Can we take yeah, we're going to have him on the phone.
Okay, so I'm single and I had a boyfriend when I first started. And I remember being so excited. Like, I'm going to show him all the stuff. And I remember I was on New Year's Eve and I had a little bit to drink. And I remember the next morning I was like, did I try to dance for you? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, and what happened? He goes, there was a lot of hair flipping. And then you just decided to go to sleep. And I was like, all right, well, that's that. And then I thought about this the other day. I think it was because of the show. I actually have pretty much been single for the rest of the time. And I think probably because it's almost like I'm self-sufficient. Like, I don't need that. I don't need to go. I mean, look, I'd be happy to have a partner. That'd be great. But like, I don't need to go out and find that. It's not like a desperation. Yeah, I don't need the validation.
So, like someone telling you you're sexy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd love to, like, if anybody on live streaming wants to call. Yeah. No, but like, you know, I would love to, like, I think I asked you once, like, have you done a dance for Bert? Or I always ask the girls, like, have you done a dance for your husband? And some of them will say no. And I'm like, how can you not? Like, I'm dying for the day that I get to do. I think I did a dance once, I'll be honest, with a guy that I was, he's a friend, but you know, whatever. Yeah. But I would love to, but I think it's also a thing. I haven't really dated anyone. I want to be in that intimate relationship where I can like really show somebody what I could do. But
oh my God, you should totally dance for him before you sleep with him. Like really tease the shit out of him.
I know.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, like bring him home. Find that person. Date two or three, you know, like not the classic, like go past the third date where, you know, we're supposed to sleep.
I finally stopped.
And like put him in a chair after dinner and like.
Yeah. I have to be honest. I, you know, like listening to you guys talk about it, I have my own fears around almost, I guess it's rooted in judgment, but like to, with my intimate partner to expose myself in that way causes a lot of fear and like anxiety. And I guess it's because I don't want him to judge me.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Like, it took me a long time to say that I even did this. And I remember the girls, I had friends who were in it before. And I said, well, you know, I didn't tell them. And they were like, why? Why wouldn't you tell them? You know, and now I would say that to somebody like, why wouldn't you tell them? It takes a long time to get that, like we were talking about earlier, that judgment that people have about it.
Wow.
But you have to be careful. But I think if I was dating someone and I couldn't tell them I did this, then I should not dating them. That right, I shouldn't be dating
right,
them.
Right,
you know what I mean? You should be open enough to know that and be man enough to know that I can do this stuff and it's not for you, it's for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. It's not for somebody else, it's for me. And just for the record, it was my husband's first time seeing me do this.
Oh my God.
At amateur night. Like you know, on a pole in front of people.
Right.
Is that the first time? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think he thoroughly enjoyed it. Like after
he was so proud of me. He was like, yeah, that's my wife. Yeah. It was so awesome.
I think that's so cool too.
Oh,
like to have that supportiveness in your relationship. Yeah. And it's great.
I mean, I've had so many instances where I realize how incredibly lucky I am.
You are. I love
him. The attention he pays to me in a way of like, there's zero jealousy, you know, like at one point he was like pointing while I was dancing on stage, he was pointing to guys with a stack of money, like go down there. They got money. It was so funny.
He's like,
girl, work it. And I appreciate that he is so happy to be like, fuck yeah, that's my wife. Not get away from her. She's my wife.
Right. You know? And he's also, I mean, he was very supportive with me. Like, too, yeah. Where I was like, Bert, I'm going to go to you. And I was like, Meredith, I got to go to him. Like, it's somebody I know.
I'm going to go
like,
turn on your husband.
He's like, darling, you can come to me. I'll be right there and I'll be so cheering sweet. For you. And it's not a like creepy thing. Yeah. Although I remember at the end, he's like, so I'd like a private dance. And I'm like, all right, Bert, now we're out of the club now. I'm not, you don't have any ones in your hand.
Oh my God. Well, I was sitting next to him and he was, you know, he like handed me some dollar bills after I ran out so that we could like even it out. And, you know, but yeah, just team player. So yeah. I think really neat to see, you know, relationship support in it.
Yeah, definitely. So if you do have a partner, don't think that you're excluded or I don't know, that this can't work in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it sounds like in a way how it could inform and help you grow in your relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, grow as a person and that's who you now bring to the relationship.
Yeah. Oh, and can I just say, very well said. And T and I have talked about this before and I don't know, maybe we talk about this over Christmas, but guys, like I do think, we both think that this is such a great gift to give your lady because it's a gift that's really is about her. Like it's like her, like here, hun, like go explore yourself and go, you know, have this experience. Like,
although I can see how it could be misinterpreted.
I think that unless they're like listening to this, I think if like my before this, if my boyfriend had been like, "I'm getting you pole dancing," I'd be like, "Fuck you!" Why, you know?
Yeah. But what are you doing?
Yeah, but now I would, if I had somebody who did that, I'd be like, "That's amazing! You're getting me like the for the year." What? You
know, yeah, it reminds me of like when I one of the a person I was dating was going to gift me like a waxing down there. Yeah, and I was like, I was like, yeah, I mean, maybe like a full day at the spa to counteract the thing pain. I don't want to do.
Yeah, but okay, so let me restate this. That was my very open-minded perspective. But I like, okay, if you're thinking you would maybe, you think your partner, your girlfriend would, or wife or whatever, would like to experience this, I think maybe one way to bring it up is like, I heard the show, these women had these amazing experiences.
Yeah.
And I think you'd really like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. I would love men to gift it for their
self-aware men. I think that would be amazing. And I think it's totally changed my life. It's changed my acting. There's nothing that Meredith and I talked the next morning and I was like, "So how do you feel?" And she goes, "I just feel like, I mean, what's next?" Like, we're both like, "I'm not scared of anything now. Like I need to find something to be scared of and do, because there's nothing really like really scary." And just in general, in taking these classes and discovering my sexuality, it really has changed. It's changed everything in my life. It's changed my acting. It's changed how I carry myself. It's changed, you know, I don't have a boyfriend and that's fine. But like, you know, but I'm also, that's fine. That's okay.
Which is,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes how you walk into a room, which, you know, and it seems so simple, but it's really important.
Well said. On that note, we have to get you out of here because you have someone.
Right.
You've got people to see and places.
Yeah.
I got to go find a boyfriend.
You can tweet us at TA Talk Sex if you'd like to sign up for Jennifer Sorensen's dating list.
Right. She's got lots of erotic energy to share.
Yeah, she's been cultivating it for 3 years.
You might take a look at. Yeah, she is a skilled artisan in the expression of eroticism now.
There you go. It's artisanal stripping.
Stripping. Yes, so I love LA. That.
I know, but I think, you know, can I just add my two cents about like the strip club environment? It's like, I want to see a cultural shift where there is a space that's, you know, is it called more sophisticated or whatever, but like something where it doesn't have that dirty taboo. It doesn't have, I don't know, drug affiliations, all these things. It's just a space to like almost like a Dita Von T style.
I was going to say, I think they have that with burlesque, but they don't have that, mm-hmm. which is really silly because it should be.
They're still related.
It just takes a mature person who's able to be around nudity and that kind of arousal and like let it move through them and allow the arousal to exist without attaching onto the performer. You know what I mean? Or making it this like.
Or this must mean that you want me because you're taking your clothes off in front of
but
me.
But you're right. The art of.
But now you are mine.
Energy of the burlesque, but on a pole. Because the pole dancing, I'm like, I love the acrobatics. I mean, it's so cool when you guys are twirling or like upside down on the pole. I mean, it's beautiful and inspiring. And, you know, you see how strong you are. I mean, it's cool.
Well, ladies, let's start a club. Let's business number
it.
Five.
Yeah, I know.
Here we go.
Get it on the list. Maybe. That's good. You know how famous people always end up opening restaurants?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll be like, a pole dancing. You know, we're going to open up our dream place.
Yeah. Well, the woman who owns the studio we go to is in well-known. An actress like mm-hmm. you would
there
know
we go
her, yeah.
Oh my god,
there's projects coming up that Meredith probably work on that I'm working on that have something to
may
do.
Have something
nice
like this,
so. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. We'll keep you updated.
All right, so we're just gonna, you know, one more time, we always have a show at the end of the month that is any questions or thoughts that come up for you guys, we'll discuss them on that episode. You can write us at advice@tatalksex.com. We're talking with Meredith Riley Stewart, my co-creator and producer of Autocorrect FU. We take real text conversations screwed up by autocorrect and use that as the only dialogue in the scenes. And Jen Sorensen, who is in
Orphan is the New Orange.
Thank you. It's hard to say.
I know.
Orphan is the New Orange.
The
you can find
can't
it
say
online,
it.
But you have two screenings coming up.
We have two screenings coming up. We have one on October 29th at Stanley's Los Angeles Comic Con, and then we have Holly Shorts on November 3rd. So we have one on Saturday, one on Tuesday, right back to back.
That's my birthday, November 3rd.
Oh, Scorpio.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And if you all enjoyed the show, please take the time to write us a quick review on iTunes. It just creates more visibility. They have interesting little algorithms that allow us to be more visible.
Yes.
So that would be a great help.
Thank you, ladies, for being here.
Thank you.
For
this was so
answering
fun.
Our Thank questions you. And sharing your experience.
This was great.
Really awesome. Thank you.
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.